All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on the 7th day of May, 2019. I do want to thank you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to encourage you to subscribe to my newsletter, miningstocks.com. Miningstocks.com is the name, is the website to go to subscribe to Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. And right now, when nobody seems to be too interested in gold mining stocks, I think now is the time that you should be interested and start looking at the gold shares. They are really underpriced now, as much as I've seen them in a long, long time. I'd also encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? ChenPicks.com is the place to go to sign up for Chen's letter. And, of course, Michael Oliver as well at OliverMSA.com. It's a place to go to really take advantage of Michael's expertise in the markets, and he'll be talking to us in just a moment about what he's seeing in today's very exciting markets. Big down day in the equity markets, and gold is catching a bid, so we'll see. Maybe there's a turn underway. Do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show, Great Bear Resources, Klondike Gold, Novo Resources, RN Resources, and Strike Point Gold. I've titled today's show, Optimizing Wealth Using a Portfolio of Precious Metals. Christopher Blase and Michael Oliver return as our guests today, and Sean Kunkun will be visiting for the first time. Sean is the president and CEO of Strike Point Gold. Chris Blase's Neptune Global provides an easy way to buy, sell, and or invest in a diverse basket of precious metals. A proprietary product offered by his company is the PMC Ounces product that has a fixed amount of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium in it. You can buy and sell it very easily on the internet, but it is allocated to you personally. They're allocated metals to you and to you alone. The metals are totally physical, and as I say, allocated, and you can also take physical delivery if you so desire. The PMC ounce is quoted in real time, and as I say, you can buy and sell it on the internet, have it delivered, or have it set aside in an allocated account. So Chris will be with me to discuss the supply and demand fundamentals for the precious metals, for all of them, I expect. We'll learn more about some of the products that his firm provides as well. As I mentioned, Sean Kunkun will be with us for the first time, and he is the new president of a new and exciting exploration company in British Columbia and also in the Yukon. So we'll be hearing from him after the first commercial break. But right now, Michael Oliver is with us, and really pleased to have Michael join us again. Thanks, Mike, for coming on.
Hi, Jay. It's an interesting day.
Really interesting day, and so I'm especially glad that you're on this Tuesday. Let's talk about the equities. I mean, how can we not talk about the equity markets? As I look at the screen right now, the Dow is down 567 points. It's across the board, we're seeing S&P and NASDAQ down by more than 2%, so it's a pretty significant down day. Could it possibly be, Michael, that this 10-year bull market may be nearing an end?
Yes, it's possible. Our trigger numbers for the S&P and the NASDAQ 100 were busted 2 days ago, a bit more yesterday, and fully today. Now, these are numbers that aren't what we call long-term breakages. A lot of long-term breakages have already occurred, despite the recent rally. But we're back into downside pressure again, and we think it's probably going to sustain for a while. And the question is, can they drive it low enough for us via our metrics, which aren't price-based but other factors, to where we can circle that recent high at 29.50 and say, okay, that was it. That was the third high in a widening pattern that goes all the way back to January 2018. Right now, I can't say that, but I suspect it. But meanwhile, we are getting intermediate downturn. There's more pain to come, I think, in the next few days. Yes, it's news-related, and to some extent that confuses an issue. You know, we prefer things to happen without the news. So it's sort of a mystery to the investor. Those are the best kind of moves. But this is a big one. It was touted on the way up. Now suddenly it's not happening. So a lot of people are concerned. But our focus is also on the other markets. And we note that T-bonds are doing what they normally would do in this kind of situation. They're getting the bid because they're fighting safety. That makes sense, okay? The gold market is quietly pushing higher, and we've defined some numbers to our subscribers in recent weeks and adjust them weekly. They aren't far above the market. I can't get specific because you know, people pay for this.
Sure.
They're not far above the market, but they're the kind of numbers that we think if gold tags them, and they, like I said, they're not far above where we are right now, that the other side of that would be a whoosh. And by whoosh, I mean if gold gets into those numbers, we think it could go up $20 to $30 on the other side of those numbers so quickly that it'd take your breath away. Mm-hmm. In other words, get well back up into the 1300s in a whoosh, such that the people who are, one, either skeptical and not in the market, or two, they got out because they're scared and tired, or three, they're short, would be ambushed. It's the kind of upturn that should occur that way if it occurs, so we do think it's likely to occur. And we're playing with the numbers right now. We're just below them. And it also would not surprise me that if gold does that, that it doesn't do it in U.S. daylight hours.
Oh.
We might come in one morning and gold suddenly up $10, $20. It didn't do it here. It did it elsewhere in the world first. We're just gap up. So anyway, that's the more important thing we're focused on, actually, rather than this S&P stuff. We view the developed stock markets of the world, I mean, Europe, Japan, and here, as not places to be. Period. And there are better places to own stocks, emerging markets, perhaps China and so forth, especially on a relative basis to the U.S., meaning long those stocks, short developed market stocks as a spread. But we think gold is still the king, and it will show itself. Now, as far as the miners go, they're typical. We describe them as a puppy dog on a leash, like a poodle, let's say. They're very emotional. You know, you go down, gold drifts down a little bit, and they fall apart. Gold upticks, they explode. It's the nature of that relatively small stock sector. That's the way it's behaved. It'll probably continue that way, which means as gold goes up and recovers and restates its claim to something well above 1350, for example, the gold miners should do far better than gold.
Well, that's true in part, Michael, because say a $50 rise in the price of gold is meaningful to the operating margins of the companies too. So, I mean, it is emotional, but it's also based on some reality. But I get it. It's very sensitive. You're right. Boy, do I know that.
At least three or four times the potency of gold on the downside and upside.
Right. Exactly. It cuts both ways. Well, Michael, let me ask you right before getting back to the equity market. So, right before we came on the air, one analyst was suggesting that if these if this level holds here down 550 right now, if we hold down this level, then he's going to be looking to sell the rallies going forward. Would that be something you'd be comfortable doing if you're owning equities now?
I think this sell-off, our best guess is that the sell-off gets the S&P down into the lower 2800s. Right now we're still in the upper part. We're 2870, that kind of thing. I think you get down below 2850, and I think they will fight, the bulls will fight touching 2800. So if this sell-off probably has more to go over the next week or so, but the fight, the balance of forces is likely to occur above 2800, and that's when it could get a little confusing. A rally from right here doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The guy who's looking for the rally, I think he needs to ratchet it down about 2 or 3 more percent before he he puts his bid in.
Mm-hmm. Michael, how's the dollar behaving today?
The dollar's firm. You know, it's yawning. Again, I keep pointing back to last August. The dollar index, cash index, got up to 96.99. So let's call it 97. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trading, you know, a half a point or so above there now, and it's, what, 10 months later?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's talking about the strong dollar. I see a flat dollar. It'll oscillate either side of that 97 for the last 10 months by a point or two either side, and I don't call that a trend. I call that a yawn. Mm-hmm. So,
well, let me ask you, with just a minute left here, Michael, a minute or two, I guess we can spare 2 minutes. Copper, today you put out something on copper. It looks to me like copper is one of those places that's sort of uncommittal. You just can't really know which way you're
exactly
going to go on copper.
We did. Yeah, that's what we said. We've called it very well, copper, over the last couple of years. We called the buy signal in late 2016. It shot up over a dollar. Then we said, nah, in June of 2018, get out. It's probably going to drop. It dropped right about to where we said it would. And right now it's caught in confusion. Technical confusion, I'm saying. It's behaving like the stock market to some extent. Oil behaves even more so like the stock market, and we view those two markets, the industrial-type commodities, let's call it copper, lumber, and oil, as pretty much linked to the stock market. Now, I don't think that will continue. In other words, if the S&P is going into a major bear trend for the next couple of years, let's say, the bubble's going to break. I don't think it's going to drag oil and copper all the way down with it. There will be a point at which they will divorce. Why? Because they're relatively cheap, and they've already been beaten up a lot. But for now, they're still behaving, you know, almost week by week, somewhat like the S&P 500. So we have no real interest in buying them. Mm-hmm. I don't have any technical justification to urge people to buy Freeport-McMoRan or Southern Copper, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be, but I don't see it now.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Freeport on copper yawned.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't see it in the charts. And oil also just kind of stay away from it right now.
I think it's stay away from it. Now, the next major low in oil, which I don't think they'll go below that low we made back late last year at 42. I think it was about 42. I don't think we'll take that out, but we could get down seriously into the 50s, I think. So I have no interest in the long side there, nor not really in the short side either. There's bigger things, pregnant things out there. And I think one is the S&P major top being completed, finally. I think the gold situation commands attention because I think the potential on the upside is so enormous and so speedy over the next year or two because the bubble's going to break. And the bubble, of course, we're talking about the S&P 500 in developed markets.
Sure.
Why? Because they were printed higher over a period of about 10 years by central banks. And only now do we hear this, oh, good economic news. Yeah, well, the problem is the structure upon which that good economic news is occurring, assuming it lasts, that economic data points, is a structure of paper mache.
Right.
So the issue is the price of the S&P and how it got up here, and it didn't get up here on good grounds. It got up here on fiat reasons and undercut interest rates, et cetera. So that's the problem with getting good news now. It's being added on top of a paper mache structure.
Paper mache and the debt market as well, of course, and the whole house of cards comes down.
Comes down, what's gold going to do? You know, we know.
Gold retains its value, and everything else loses its value. So that's why we buy gold. So it's not not the place to be most of the time. But boy, sometimes when it's good, it's very, very good to own gold. We know that from 2008, 2009, in that time frame, all the way up to 2011. What a bull market we had!
Yeah,
I'm
I think the
expecting
next one will be bigger.
bigger, possibly.
Yes.
Bigger, and I'm not personally cheering for that because of all the other misery that might come along with it. But better to own the gold than not. That's my philosophy. Michael, thank you so much for being with us again. It's always
so
good to have you, and especially on days like this to help calm our nerves. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Sean Kuhn is going to be with us. He's the president and CEO of StrikePoint Gold. That's a new and exciting company that I started covering in my newsletter, and it's also a sponsor to this show. I think you're going to find what Sean Kuhn has to say to be very interesting. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Noble Resources Corp. Trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdes Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Great Bear Resources, trading under GBR on the TSX and GTBDF on the OTCQB, is a gold exploration company focused on their wholly owned Dixie Project in the prolific Red Lake Mining District of Ontario, Canada. Recent drill results yielded an impressive 1,600 grams per ton gold over 0.7 meters near surface. GBR is fully funded to drill 300 plus holes this year. McEwen Mining is a significant shareholder following a $5.7 million investment as part of a recent $10 million financing. Visit GreatBearResources.ca.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me for the first time Sean Kunkun. Sean has over 15 years of experience in the capital markets and mineral exploration and development sector, and as the president and CEO of StrikePoint Gold, he is involved in the company's marketing, financing, corporate development. He has developed long-standing relationships with the extensive global network of high net worth individuals and investors and individuals, and analysts, brokers, investment bankers, and private equity groups. And I've known Sean for the last number of years, quite a few years actually. I've learned to know him quite well, so I'm really happy to have him with me today. Before we say hello to Sean, I would like to just point out that StrikePoint Gold trades in Toronto under the symbol SKP. You can buy it down here in the States under the symbol STKXF. It was trading earlier today at around 12 cents Canadian. That's about 9 cents in U.S. money. Very typical for these exploration companies these days. Very, very low priced. I think now is the time to pay a lot of attention to them. When nobody else wants them, that's usually the way it is. 88.6 million shares out, $8 million market cap in U.S. money. So that's the website is strikepointgold.com. Just jot that down, go there, and check out the story after you hear what Sean has to say. Thanks for joining me, Sean.
Yeah, Jay, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's really good to have you. A young fellow like you that's starting out with quite a bit of experience, though, I must say, and I've known you for a number of years, so I'm really glad to see you taking on this role at StrikePoint. I guess we should start out by just telling people, because your story is a pretty new one. Tell our listeners a little bit about StrikePoint. How did it come to being? A little bit about the history. Just take a couple of minutes to do that, if you could, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay, it's our history does go back a number of years. I think back to some property tours we've done together over the last 10 years, and different opportunities. And this time right now, and here we are in May 2019. It reminds me of previous opportunities going back to 2005, 2008, 2014, where you get these moments in the precious metal sector where projects or companies offer some very, very interesting value from a historical context. And it's coming off one of those lows, the 2015 low, that I really repurposed StrikePoint. I've been the CEO of StrikePoint going back to 2013, And in 2016, after the gold price got down to about 1,000, the venture exchange, our primary listing, was down at 466 points. You know, we'd gone through the 2000 low, the 2008 low on the exchange, and I thought it was a good time to start a gold company. My thinking was, you know, the majors that are producing gold were not replenishing their inventory, and there was a void and an opportunity to secure mineral inventory. My focus for StrikePoint has been precious metals. It's silver, it's gold in Canada. And the thinking was we could build an inventory through acquisition and surgical exploration, and that to ultimately then sell the company to a mid-tier or large-cap gold producer. And, you know, going into some of the more detail there, you know, going back to 2016, we started with a big portfolio of properties in the Yukon Territory. So we picked up the old Ryan Gold package, a package that back in 2011 was valued, you know, in the hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of market cap. And we were able to acquire it for $150,000 in cash and by issuing some shares. So we started with a big portfolio in the Yukon that came with a $30 million database. And because it was a very, very smart deal, and we were able to attract some very renowned investors, we've raised about $10 million in order to pursue this goal of securing mineral inventory. And we found ourselves in a position last year where the valuations continued to be depressed, and we've acquired two very, very high-grade, you know, one is a past-producing asset and the other is a high-grade discovery, both in the Golden Triangle in BC.
Yeah, I want to get to that, and I want to ask you about the property that I know you're spending most of your time on, the Willoughby. But before we get to that, Sean, I'd like to also ask you to talk a little bit about the corporate structure, because to me, in my way of thinking, when I look at new companies that are starting up, who owns the stock? Very important. And how much of the stock is in strong hands? We don't like to see shares held by people that don't have the ability to stay through and hang on to them through thick or thin. And maybe you just talk a little bit about about your share structure and who owns the company. Who are the major shareholders?
Yeah, you know, when I think about the listeners, your subscribers, and new potential investors that are looking at StrikePoint, I think that the one thing that comes to mind for me is we have a very solid foundation in terms of our market capital structure. If you break down the 88 million shares that are issued in StrikePoint, we've got two corporate shareholders. These are publicly traded companies that are active in the very same area that we are active. So we've got Ascot Resources and Skeena Resources, two companies that your listeners may be familiar with. So Ascot and Skeena collectively own about 20% of StrikePoint. And they received that interest in the company by divesting assets to StrikePoint. And we've got, you know, a very, very renowned precious metals investor in Eric Sprott as an 8% shareholder. And then, you know, very, very proud to report we've got some very, very recognized, astute, renowned precious metals investors. And it's really a global group. We've got a fund over in Switzerland that is a shareholder. We've got a fund out of San Antonio, Texas, US Global. The fund in Switzerland is the Gold 3000 Fund. And then we're well represented in Canada with institutions in Vancouver and Toronto. So 30% of StrikePoint is institutions, 20% the two corporate shareholders. Eric Sprott's position is almost 10%, management and consultants 10%. So in the hands of the retail public, we've got about 30% of that 88 million shares. It works out to about 20 to 25 million shares.
Yeah, it's very good, very important, a very big plus to have that foundation there. You know, we don't have a lot of time, so I want to get on to the Willoughby property, which is really what you're planning to, I think, focus on mostly this year. You know, I was very happy to see you pick up the Porter Silver Mining project at It was a past mine that has a high grade, but your focus is on Willoughby. So tell us a little bit about Willoughby and what your plans are for it this year, Sean.
Sure. So I think one thing I'd like to reference is Willoughby is located 4 miles east of Red Mountain. And mm-hmm. Red Mountain, within the last 30 days, was acquired by Ascot Resources. Ascot is taking the premier mine back into production and has been actively acquiring projects in this area. So they acquired the Silver Coin property in October, and now they've taken over IDM Mining and the Red Mountain project. So Willoughby is set in the same type of rocks as Red Mountain. And, you know, like Red, the early exploration indicates we've got a very, very rich, high-grade gold and silver system. So I'll just highlight one drill hole that was drilled in the past, 20 meters grading 25 gram gold and 185 gram silver.
So very impressive.
Yeah, very, very impressive and not unusual for the Golden Triangle. Mm-hmm. Just a note here, with the Red Mountain acquisition and the existing acquisitions, Silver Coin and the existing Premier, Ascot is in one of the top percentiles for grades globally. I think they're in the top 10 percentile, you know, with a 7-plus gram deposit. And, you know, this is what drew me to the Triangle. You know, it's an area that, you know, is well endowed with some very, very high-grade high-grade gold and silver grades. And you've got, you know, an increase in the infrastructure and also, you know, we've got, you know, much higher gold prices than when these mines were operated in the past.
Right.
Both of those things lead us to the opportunity we have today. But, you know, what we'd like to do here is we'd like to get up to Willoughby. And IDM, using some new geological interpretations of some folding that's occurring in the area, has led them to some big exploration success. So we're looking to use that same geological thinking to bring some new discoveries to the Willoughby property.
All right, and with just a couple of minutes left, Sean, what about your exploration plans this summer up there, and how long can you work up there?
Yeah, so, you know, we've got properties that extend into the valley that can be worked year-round. But our focus right now is we're razor focused on the first phase of drilling that should take place within the next 30 days. We're honing into June for a drill program at Willoughby, and the first phase will be a 1,000 meter drill program targeting 6 holes. You know, we're looking to have that conducted in June, and then come back for a phase 2 in August.
So you use the phase 1 to learn what you can about the structure, probably, and then pinpoint your targets more accurately, hopefully, in phase 2. So we could have some results here when, Sean, if everything goes well, phase 1 results might be, what, end towards the end of the summer, or when?
You know, I would think that before we start phase 2 drilling in August, we'd have results from the first phase of drilling. And you know, like you said when we started this call, Strike Point is a new name in the precious metals arena. And Willoughby is a property that, you know, is not really on the radar. So I think we're going to put a lot of effort into bringing some awareness to the work we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, if you can come up with anything close to the kind of drill holes that you just mentioned a moment ago, the 20 meters of 25 grams, 185 grams of silver, it will bring about some awareness, I can assure you that, especially as thinly, as small as your market cap is. I think these shares could get a good percentage rise. You never know for sure. Even in a weak market, we've seen, Sean, some really of the spectacular results. Bring about recognition in the market. So I'm really optimistic.
And I look at other companies in this particular part of the world, in past seasons, whether it was a GT Gold or even a Garibaldi Resources, but you know, what I think we have the potential to do based on our share structure, based on our shareholders, based on our current market cap and share price, I think we have the potential to be the 2019 discovery story in the triangle. And if you look at, you know, it is a tough environment right now for resource stocks, but this is when projects like this really shine. And I think investors, precious metal speculators, have come to areas like the Triangle, like established camps like Nevada. We're starting to see it in a few areas in the world where, you know, there is a healthy appetite, you know, with companies, and especially for Strike Point, with, you know, the case of Pretium or the case of Ascot, mm-hmm. we're seeing mm-hmm. projects mm-hmm. that are relevant, where, you know, Ascot had just recently announced a $10 million financing and upsized it to $15 million. So we're mm-hmm. seeing a yep. lot of investor demand and interest in this particular part of the world. And,
no doubt about
you know,
it.
We're, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll have to leave it go at that, Sean. We're out of time. I'm excited about it. It has that kind of potential, no doubt about it. Of course, we underscore the word potential because this is a very high-risk, high-return business. But now, if you can buy them when they're down like they are now and you have some success, it can be very rewarding. Thanks for being with us, Sean, and we'll look to do an update sometime in the near future. Well, folks, we do have to go to...
Thanks so much.
We do have to go to break now. Folks, don't go away. We're going to be right back with Christopher Blasey. He's got some really interesting product that he has available to allow you to diversify your precious metals holding, of course, as a bigger part of your overall portfolio. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Christopher Blasey.
A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
Auron Resources is a copper gold exploration company pursuing the world's next major discoveries. It has seven projects, including two active flagships, Committee Bay in northern Canada and Sombrero in southern Peru. This summer will be one of the most exciting times in Auron's history as the company turns the drill at Sombrero for the first time ever. The project's impressive surface results have identified Sombrero as an analog to one of Peru's biggest mines. Auron is also implementing cutting-edge machine learning technology to unlock its highly prospective gold belt at Committee Bay. Visit AuronResources.com and subscribe to keep up with the company's busy year ahead.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and really pleased to have with me for a second time, Christopher Blasey. Chris Blasey is the president of NeptuneGlobal.com. He's a veteran of the financial and technology industries. He's of over 30 years of experience and the creator of the patented PMC ounce. It's a dynamic, innovative, physical precious metals investment asset. And his professional work includes roles with a major broker dealer and a boutique merchant banking firm, as well as an extensive experience in the technology industry, specifically working within the financial service sector. As someone who's recognized for his expertise in precious metals, Chris has been a contributor to prestigious publications like the Wall Street Journal, Investor's Business Daily, MarketWatch, TheStreet.com, USA Today, and he's been on CNBC. Chris, thanks for joining me again.
Jay, great to be on your show again.
It's great to have you on, and I should, one other thing I think that you've probably started doing since we last spoke, the Great Recess Opportunity Report. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I've had the privilege of, on a somewhat periodic basis, doing a video interviews, which we do post on our website and on YouTube, with a lot of well-known names who are commentators and market analysts. And we're taking the position, as the report says, the Great Reset, is that, you know, the word that there's going to be an economic reset is now actually getting kind of mainstream. Like five, mm-hmm. 6 years ago, you probably would agree, it was more the what you would call in the non-mainstream financial press. But now it's being recognized that, yes, change is always happening, but down the it looks like there's going to be some more significant change that's going to be impacting our lives, both not only just financially, but culturally and politically. Mm-hmm. So what that report does is we have various guests come on and we ask them and they share their opinions on what do they see transpiring, how do they see it affecting our lives, and of course we kind of wrap it up with how does a person save or navigate this from a financial perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, after the unconventional monetary policies that have been put in place that have not clearly have not worked, at least for the long term. They've provided some anesthesia, perhaps, for the pain of the short term, but have set things up for something very dramatic, unfortunately, I think, in a negative manner going forward. So I think that would – Chris, where can people – I guess it's probably NeptuneGlobal.com is where people should go to – can they catch up with all that you're involved with there?
Sure, that's a great starting point. So if they go to NeptuneGlobal.com, they'll actually see the most current release of the Great Reset Opportunity Report. And then that can also go on to YouTube. And if they were to YouTube the Great Reset Opportunity Report and my name, Chris Blasi, then all the postings will come up. But I think a great starting point is the website, NeptuneGlobal.com.
Okay, and one of your very unique products, patented PMC Ounce. Tell our listeners about that, because I don't want to ignore that. I want them to know, because it is a very unique product. I mean, you can go and buy an ounce of gold from God knows how many different places, but you can't go and buy a PMC Ounce. Tell our listeners what it is and why you decided to create this product.
Well, I appreciate that. So to try to put in the proper framework, and of course, visiting the site, there's a lot of great explanations. So I came from a traditional Wall Street, but I'm a big believer in physical precious metals, right? I don't believe, you know, I believe that you want to own the physical. You don't mm-hmm. want to take shortcuts through derivatives and such.
Right.
But I also knew that there's a logic that in any asset class, whether it's fixed income or equities, and it's no different for precious metals, that logical diversification within that class done properly will give you a superior risk-adjusted return. And I saw that as lacking in the precious metals world. I saw that it was always the traditional just, you know, gold and silver coins and bars. And I said, I think we could do better. And that was kind of my, so I kind of took what I learned from being what you would call mainstream mm-hmm. Broker-dealer investment banking firms, and melding that with someone who's a true believer in the physical metal. So we created the PMC Ounce. And what it is it's a fully allocated inventory of gold, silver, platinum, palladium. Everything is of the highest quality, LBMA-approved bars. But for each PMC Ounce you buy, there's a fixed fractional amount of gold, silver, platinum, palladium that is then in this allocated account in the client's name at the depository level. So you think of it as a pizza, like the four slices. One slice is gold, one is silver, one's platinum, and one's palladium. Depending on how many of those pizzas you buy, those slices aggregate up to a total weighted amount.
Mm-hmm.
So it trades in real time. There's no delays. It's not a fund. It is, and this has been in the market since 2008. it got a patent in 2013, so it's been trading successfully for 11 years. It's been patented for 6 years, and it has done since its inception what exactly was designed to do, because it's weighted and diversified. And what I mean by weighted is you're not putting the same, you're not getting the same weighting in platinum and palladium as you would gold or silver, because gold and silver are the primary. But having those physical exposure to those metals, it has delivered a superior risk-adjusted return since 2008. And what we mean is that is there was a couple of years where silver's return was higher than the PMC ounce, but we know silver is a much more volatile asset. And then since 2012, it's been crashing down and it's been below the PMC ounce. Now, just by chance, because of palladium's outperformance, and palladium only makes a small physical amount of it, the PMC ounce has outperformed gold and silver by great margins. I mean, since 2008, the PMC ounce is up 78%. Gold is up 51%. So that's a 27% difference. And silver is only up 44% versus PMC 78%. So this is... the product has delivered, and it's gotten the attention of a number of analysts and who have actually who've been recommending it, and most of them are clients of ours too now. So, Jay, in a nutshell, we said, look, you can be a physical precious metals owner. We get it. It's all in a non-bank bullion depository. It's all in a fully allocated account. The depository confirms directly with the customer the receipt of the metal and that it's in the customer's name. We can. It's you buy it at a price that's better than you can buy these individual metals on your own, but it's turnkey, it's efficient, and it outperforms.
And you've got so the actual. How do you decide what the actual allocation is to each of those metals?
Sure. So it never changes since its inception, and it can't.
Okay.
So
it can't change, right?
Fractional amount. Yeah, and the reason it, if it changed, then you're just basically creating a custom portfolio, and each PMC ounce would be priced differently. So when we devised it, we came up with the idea. We looked and researched and looked at the history of the metals and how they traded, what their pricing was, and of course we used the logic of, well, gold is going to be the primary one, silver, platinum, palladium, and then we created its physical weighting. So again, the customer goes to the website and they go to the page that is the product description. It'll describe the weighting, how and what, and about the PMC ounce, and then it'll also show how it's priced. There's a wonderful tool called the PMC calculator that lets you do a simulated trade, and the beauty of it is it gives you the breakdown of the trade. Depending on how many PMC ounces you buy, it shows how much gold, silver, platinum, palladium you've now bought, and what percentage of your money went into each metal. Because we know that, you know, there's big disparities, right, between just like, let's say, gold and silver, right? So you have to buy a lot of silver to have a meaningful part of a portfolio versus gold, you know, because one's trading at $14 an ounce and the other's at $1,200 and change. So you see the whole logic of the product. It gives you all the details of your trade, and it becomes crystal clear, you know, why, how it's weighted, and the logic behind the weighting. And of course, other things, what's the price per ounce and the total transaction amount is shown. But that is a very helpful tool, the PMC calculator.
And that's on your website, I take it?
Yes, it is. And I have, and I also can tell you that the PMC ounce is actually now being distributed even through other dealers. The depository that it's held in, I mean, it's a very substantial holding. It's all integrated into their systems for reporting. It actually is on one of the major wholesalers. It's integrated into their trading platform. So the product has matured tremendously. But, you know, as I said, it's 11 years now in the market successfully, serving investors and providing a superior risk-adjusted return. Because, Jake, I can't market time, and nobody can. And people make mistakes sometimes. So, you know, they'll think that, okay, they hear the palladium story and they start, you know, overweighting palladium. And you don't want to do that. You want to say, look, let's just take a logical position and establish ourselves, and let's hold that position. And that keeps your costs down. We know that some people will churn their own accounts, right? They'll go back and forth, gold to silver. And if you're dealing in physical metal, those transaction costs are substantial. And you're probably going to be losing money.
Yeah. No question. I mean, I can't imagine that too many retail players played this, you know, were able to participate in the palladium bull market that we've seen. And it must be, I mean, I wouldn't have a clue how to start buying palladium. It would be difficult for small purchasers. I would imagine the commission's very high. And so this is a convenient way. Chris, how much money do people need to get started? How much do they need to get to open an account and get started with your PMC ounce?
Sure. So for anyone that calls, and especially if they say, normally we have a minimum account size of 100 PMC ounces and transactions of 25 PMC ounces. But when a person was to call and they said they heard us on the Jay Taylor show, or mm-hmm. you know, some of the analysts have recommended us, we will let them start with a minimum account size of 25 PMC ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to
mm-hmm.
put that in perspective, that's about $2,400 in today's market.
Okay.
So that's a very, what we believe, modest. So the current
Absolutely.
Price per ounce right
yep.
now mm-hmm. is $95.88. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a, like I said, it's like $2,400 and change.
And it's in real time.
And allow them to open up an account.
And it's in real time, and people can buy and sell this on the internet if they want.
The buying and selling is still done through a trader. You would call and execute your trade to buy
okay.
or sell with us. It is all live pricing. It is all there's no delays. Even when you sell, you would just call up and whatever. And the prices are all posted, so that you're not negotiating. It's all there. It's 100% calibrated to the market, so anytime if you're looking at the pricing on our website and you refresh your page, you're going to see any change.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, there's no delay. So it's not even like a mutual fund where mutual funds don't even true up to the end of the day when they calculate their NAV. So mm-hmm. it's completely liquid, and that's the beauty. So the investor is buying and selling physical metal at premiums better than they can buy the metals on their own, especially when you get into niche things like palladium and platinum.
Sure.
And they have this full liquidity. They'll also have an online account with us, which they will see what all their holdings are. It'll show their transaction history of the metal moving in and out of the depository, but the trades are still done with a trader live.
Chris, I'd like to ask you a little bit about silver. You're quoted as saying, if I've got this quote right, for traders of precious metals, the gold to silver ratio has been a long time indicator and guide for entering or exiting the market. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Well, I'm commenting on something that has been talked about in the market for a long time, and that is that the gold-silver ratio has been really at historic highs, right? So we're looking at a ratio of about 80 plus mm-hmm. to 1, meaning 80 plus ounces of silver to buy an ounce of gold. A lot of people will hearken and say, traditionally, that should be around 40. So that mm-hmm. gold, you know, and they use that as a way to make the case that silver is way underpriced, even in its relation to gold. And, of course, the argument is there that the fundamentals say that gold should be much higher. And, therefore, when the metals all kind of take off, which everyone's kind of waiting for, you know, gold will go up and people expect silver to go up exponentially. Now, mm-hmm. I don't dispute that. And each metal has its own story, which, again, makes the PMC ounce unique because the metals do not move in lockstep, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at palladium that in the last 5 years is up over 600%.
Right.
And we're looking at silver that has crashed over those
mm-hmm.
same years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this comes back to the market timing. The PMC ounce contains a lot of physical silver.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of reasons and fundamentals and great data that says silver should be much higher. But it's not there. Now, we believe and we agree that at some point, silver will find its footing and will break out. And just if it starts to close the gap with gold alone, it would be seeing
mm-hmm.
an excellent return. But
mm-hmm.
that, we don't know that time. And, you know, not to keep going back, but for the sake of what we believe is good portfolio management for any investor, we say, you know, you can be, you know, the old saying about the market can be irrational longer than you can be solvent.
Right.
Because, you know, there's plenty of people that in 2011 and 12, we know it was a common talking point for with a lot of commentators that silver was imminent, going to run to 200. A lot of people piled in the 40s, and here we are at 14.
Yeah.
I believe that someday silver will be up there? Yes, I do, but I don't know. And if you're an investor, and you have to sell, you're deeply underwater. So we believe that the story and the fundamentals behind each and every metal is sound, that it is all pointing bullish. But for something like silver, it's been in a very narrow trading range for quite an extended period of time. And I know that's frustrating a lot of investors, and I definitely agree. As someone who is very invested personally in the metals, there is a lot of frustration. But that's why we say take a different way of constructing your portfolio and think more like a portfolio manager who looks at achieving a better risk-adjusted return than going all in on just one or two of the metals and waiting for that, you know, that big day when the that metal takes off.
Well, you certainly have a lot less risk, a lot less volatility, as you just described palladium offsetting offsetting the weakness in silver to a great extent. Chris, to a great extent, of course, some of these metals, I mean, gold is really a monetary metal. I mean, almost completely, I would argue. Silver also, to a great extent, is a monetary metal, but it's also industrial. Platinum and palladium, almost totally industrial. I don't think too many people hold platinum and palladium as monetary metals. They don't think of them in those terms. I guess you'd agree with that. And then could you comment a little bit on what you see for, if you take a view on the economy, are we heading into, we've had several people on this show suggest recently that they think there's a high probability we're heading into a recession this year. And if that's the case, then that might not be the greatest time for platinum and palladium and silver, you would think. But who knows? I mean, if we have monetary issues and silver and some of these, I don't know. What are your thoughts on where we might be headed? I know that's the beauty of your PMC ounce, is that you don't have to know these things. You just, you have that diversity that takes away the risk. But do you have any thoughts about that? I mean, do you think fundamentally that gold looks better or silver and some of these industrial precious metals look better going forward?
Sure. So first thing, your description of each metal, you know, gold, monetaries, the silver, the quasi, 100%. You're exactly right, and you're listening, and this is why they don't move in lockstep. Now, the interesting thing is, so platinum and palladium have been going, for the last couple weeks, the metals have basically been trending down, platinum, palladium going down a little bit more. But keep in mind, just so you know, year to date, as of yesterday's close, gold is up less than 1%, so basically trading sideways. Silver down 3.5%. As much as platinum and palladium have gone down in the last 2 weeks, platinum is still up 11% this year and palladium 7%. Now, going into a recession, the logic is that in industrial metal, the demand for it will go down. And that's true. And it should. But, of course, we're in different times. We're in a different world right now, right? So a lot of things that used to be able to count on when the fundamentals said this should happen isn't happening anymore, right? And we know that. Anyone in the precious metals knows that. But the thing about platinum and palladium is, even though they're pure industrial, they have a dynamic that an industrial metal, or at least one metal like silver that has a big industrial component to it, doesn't have. Platinum and palladium are obviously essential metals, especially in something as key as catalytic converters, right? So the reason palladium has really gone up so much in the last several years is palladium has taken the market share away from platinum for gas engines. Now, so that means you can't put a car out without that palladium in there. And the amount of palladium going into each engine is only about $140, $150.
Yeah, so it's not significant.
Is it not? And this is a good part for investors. But the thing that the wild card is, platinum and palladium, 80% of it, so virtually all platinum and palladium come from only two places, South Africa and Russia. South Africa is completely dysfunctional, right, at this point, and relying on mine supply from them for an essential metal is risky. With Russia, We don't have to go into it. It's common knowledge. There's a host of geopolitical issues. Mm-hmm. So when you hear about the prices, when you, this is obviously common, right? We talk about price interference with gold and silver, you know, in the futures market, knocking down the price of gold or silver. Well, when you're a person that you need that $150 of palladium to put your car out, you're not covering yourself with futures contracts. You're mm-hmm. buying that metal.
Physically,
and that's
right?
Why, yeah. So what you're seeing is, and I hope this is a prelude of the future for gold and silver, uh-huh. what I believe is what you're seeing is a real free market, or much closer to a free market with platinum and palladium, because the people that need it can't be satisfied with futures contracts. Now, with
right.
silver, a person could say, yes, but the same thing, they need silver. But the point is, what are they doing with silver? They're burning above ground inventories for industrial use, because there's this comfort level that, hey, at the end of the day, they do mine silver in the United States and Canada and Mexico, right? So there's no fear that you're going to get cut off from supply. So,
right.
you know, you can spin up those mines. But when you're relying on an essential metal coming out of Russia and South Africa, you can't take that risk. So you are buying it. So, you know, that even with a slowdown, granted, last couple of weeks, these metals are pulling back a little, probably more of a buying opportunity than a red flag, that geopolitical dynamic is going to put it, I believe, and should keep a nice floor under the price to some degree.
Okay, Chris, we're going to have to leave it go at that. We're out of time. Folks, it's NeptuneGlobal.com, NeptuneGlobal.com. Go there and learn about this PMC ounce is really a very unique product. I think that's one you really should check out. I plan to do that myself. Chris, thank you so much for being with us. Your insights are greatly coveted, and we look to do it again sometime in the not-too-distant future. All right, folks.
I really appreciate it.
Or you bet. Oh, folks, this is all the time we have this week. Next week, Peter Groskopf, he's the CEO of Sprott, Inc., will be with us. Gwen Preston, newsletter writer and colleague of mine, will also be on, and hopefully Michael Oliver as well. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
StrikePoint Gold, trading under SKP on the TSX and STKXF on the OTC, has a market cap of under $10 million. StrikePoint is a new player in the Golden Triangle of BC in Canada. Focus will be on drilling the Willoughby Project in 2019. Prior drilling delivered over 20 meters of 25 grams per ton gold and 184 grams per ton silver. Recent receding glaciers have identified new gold targets. Neighboring projects have been acquired by StrikePoint's largest shareholder, Ascot. Eric Sprott and Skeena round out the other top shareholders.